obedience. I'm not really good at that. Thank you. So I was really excited when I saw the theme of this year's Advent services. That theme of Christmas together for all the people. Oh, sorry, kids. See, I want you all together. Does make a difference. Certainly the mission that we have here, the passion that God has given me, certainly, and many, many of you, is to bring this community together in such a way that lives are transformed, that the West End becomes the best end, and that there is a difference, that we leave a legacy, that we change the culture. We cannot do that in the United States, but in our world, in the area where we live and play and make a difference, we can change. And so you're going to keep hearing that. You're going to keep hearing it over and over again. And certainly for today, as we have lit the candle of hope, we have to have hope. That sense of hopelessness when you get up in the morning and you do all the things that you've normally done, and yet you're all up in your head, you've messed, I mean, it's just not happening. And you feel that hopelessness even when it's Christmas. Now, if you are under 5, you have no idea what I'm talking about. And for those of us who have under 5 folks in our lives, we get it. We get that at Christmas time, they don't even understand hopelessness. Diane, I'm probably going to just screw up the slides and just complete your day in rare form. And so I apologize for that right now. But those kids, they get it. They get joy. They get hope. They have no idea what peace is. But at the end of the day, they get it. But we have it a little bit different. We have times that we've lost hope. We have times, as Sandy said, this year has been a tough year. The last 2 years have been a tough year. And it seems like one of the things I say is the hits just keep on coming. The waves just keep on coming. It's like, okay, I got it again. I'm standing up. Boom. No, I'm not. And that's what it's been like. And as my husband would say, let me encourage you. It's going to get worse before it gets better. Okay? You know, he's not here. I waited till he left before I said that. But at the end of the day, that's what it's going to be like. We know. We've read the book. We know it gets worse before it gets better. But one day we're going to stand before God, and we're going to stand in front of his judgment, and as a child of God, we will be there under the protection of Jesus Christ. He will be our defense attorney. He will stand and say, innocent, life is good. So remember that God doesn't give us what we can handle, but without him, we can't handle anything we've got. And that's what we have to remember. So that hope that comes from God is hope to cope. And if you don't have the hope that comes from God, you can't possibly expect to cope. So we're going to hope to cope today. Pastor Rick Warren created an acrostic. You know, he's the one that where the CR stuff came out of. So you can't do anything without an acrostic, okay? And his acrostic for hope is holding on, praying expectantly. We know that this is a season. We know that God provides what we need, and we know that he answers prayer. He doesn't do it in our time, in our way all the time, but it gets answered. And so Christian hope is when God has promised that something is going to happen, and you put your trust in that promise. Christian hope is a confidence that something will come to pass because God promised it will. The sun never quits shining, but sometimes the clouds get in the way. Amen? I have a rock that I picked up on a hike that Howard and I were in. And yeah, this last year's been tough for me. And as we were walking on this path, I saw this. It's only not as big as a 50-cent piece. But I saw this rock, and it caught my eye, and it was sparkling. And he thought I'd lost my mind. I'd already fallen once on this trail. And we but I stopped and I picked that rock up. And it sits next to my chair in the living room. And when I see it, I know that on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. And that little rock with a light that comes out of it because it has sparkles is a promise to me that God is faithful, that he is, even when I can't see him, even when I can't feel him, he is right there with me. In fact, he's closer. He's right here inside me. But sometimes that's harder to acknowledge. So where do we get our hope? The world is always searching for hope. Dr. Dale Archer said, if I could find a way to package and dispense hope, I would have a pill more powerful than any antidepressant on the market. Hope is often the only thing between man and the abyss, as long as a patient, individual, or victim has hope. They can recover from anything and everything. So if you are talking to someone who has lost hope, there's only one way to help that person. Dr. Archer's conclusions were the same as Dr. Wolf's. He did research into those who survived as POWs in Japan during World War II. He said those who survived and remained relatively unaffected, and I was really glad that quote was in there, because you cannot be a POW, you know, for longer than 30 seconds and not be effective. But those that were relatively unaffected had a high degree of hope. His conclusion was that a person can handle almost anything when that person has hope. Finding God's hope to cope, where do we find it? We find it in the Word of God. Amen? Okay? When the Bible was written and those folks were looking for a place to stand on, they didn't have my little sparkly rock, okay? But they had Paul, and that might be even better than a little sparkly rock, I'm not sure. But Paul gave them this prayer of hope. Romans 15:13, and it's from the Passion Bible. Now may God, the fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with his superabundance until you radiate with hope. Now, the Passion translation is not one that you've heard me preach from, okay? It's on my YouVersion, and if you have YouVersion, That's where you'll find it. But I'm going to read this again, because if you need to have a verse that you can stand on, that you can acknowledge that God is that place of hope, this may be it. Now may God, the fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in Him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life, okay, are you ready? With His super abundance until you radiate with hope. Okay, so now in my mind, because I'm visual, oh, I forgot my glasses are up there. I'm a visual person. I got to see it. So I am walking down this aisle with this light around me, because I'm radiating hope. And this light is a bubble that is the Holy Spirit that's constantly filling me back up when I need more hope. Now, I don't know if you're visual or not, or if you just need to read it and see it, but that makes a difference to me. That's something on those mornings when I wake up and it's like, this sucks, you know? I don't know if it's a theological term, sorry. when you wake up and it's like, for no good reason, I'm down, I'm depressed, I'm feeling anxious, where I'm angry at the world, I need something that will fill me back up with joy. And I don't think I'm the only one. The picture is of God as an overflowing fountain of hope who fills us with enough hope that it not only satisfies us, but it spreads to those around us. The God of hope creates hope inside of us, which radiates to others. Now, I don't know about you, but when my kids were little and I came home from work and I was stressed out and cranky and irritable, it took about 30 seconds for those kids to be stressed out, irritable, and doing anything but what I wanted them to do. My emotions spread to those kids in a heartbeat. It works the same way with adults many times. And so if you are able to have that kind of hope within you, to be able to radiate that kind of hope, does that make a difference? Does it make, do you, if you walk into work and somebody says something irritating, does it change your attitude? But if you walk into work and you're able to share some hope, that will make a difference as well. And many of us, as we've gotten older, we expect to be disappointed. We expect for things to not go well. And when that permeates our life, we are not bringing hope into the situation. Now, I get that we're not 5 years old anymore, and we're not sure that Santa Claus is coming in 4 weeks or less or whenever the number of the days are. We don't have to walk around in la-la land, but we do, because we have so often seen an expectation unfulfilled, we have to remember where our hope is. And so you don't get to handle life's challenges alone. We, you know, I don't know how, as someone said, I need God to get through, you know, whatever. And someone else replied, I need God to get through Walmart. Honey, I need God to get out of bed in the morning. And so if you're not hanging on to that God, if you're not having that relationship that you know that He's there, and that regardless of what you face today, He's going to be there. You got, I don't know how people who don't know that get out of bed in the morning. It's just how we live. To Timothy, Paul said, to all the rich of this world, I command you not to be wrapped in thoughts of pride over your prosperity or rely on your wealth, for your riches are unreliable and nothing compared to the living God. Trust instead in the one who lavishes upon us all good things, fulfilling our every need. 1 Timothy 6:17, again from the Passion Translation. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how much you don't have. It doesn't matter, I'm going to pick on you, Eddie. It doesn't matter how many drums you got. If you had a box and a stick, you could make noise. But God provides everything you need. If you allow him to. If you submit to him and you're submitting your will to him, he does. In the letter to the Ephesian church, Paul said that without Christ, without God, a person really doesn't have any hope at all. Amen. Hallelujah. That's how it works. Because throughout God's word, where we are told to place our hope has always been the same. It's always made a difference. When we place our hope in the Lord, it makes a difference. So all this begs the question, what's hope? I didn't even talk about that yet. The word becomes, it comes from an old English word, and it means having a confident assurance in the future. How many think that hope is an emotion? Good job. Nobody raised their hand. All right. It is an emotion, it is a feeling, but it's so much more than that. It's kind of like when someone says to me, I've fallen out of love. Well, honey, you don't get to fall out of love any more than you get to fall into love. Love is a choice. Love is God. Love is God coming out of us. And so if you are choosing love, if you are choosing hope, then you have the Holy Spirit inside you. That's what you're doing. And that's what it means. You know, hope is not just hoping and praying that something good's going to happen. You know, have any of you seen the weight loss cure that they don't want you to know about? You can be hoping and praying that that's going to work this time. It doesn't work like that. And we've all fallen for it. Yes, at least one of us who is fluffy or thick is the new word, I guess. I don't know. If you have fallen for a false feeling and not acknowledged that love, hope, peace, joy are from God, then we need to talk about that. Having biblical hope is a certainty. It's a rock that we can stand on. It's a belief that sustains us. It holds us up when nothing else will, and it enables us to endure when all hell is crashing around us. When a pandemic comes swooping in and shuts off our ability to live life as we're expected to, when it makes us hide behind a mask, when it changes our world in a heartbeat and everything comes crashing down, hope, biblical hope, knowing that God is still with us, that he is inside us, that this is not a surprise to him, that the book of Revelation, that the end story is still the same, is hope. And that's not a feeling. It's also a knowledge that God loves us. He loves us so much that he sent his son. That's where our hope comes from, is it not? We have eternal life. This world is not our home. We are just passing through. And so if Jesus is our hope, that's not changed. Jesus said that while the thief, Satan, comes to steal and destroy, he has come to not only bring life, but bring life abundant. And so I'm just going to fly through the next pages because I already took up the time in the first two. So the ingredients, because we do have a part in this, do we not? It is our obedience. It is our willingness to be the hands and feet of Jesus. It is our choice, because God gives us free will. That's how we live. And so if we are not doing our part, we're not gaining anything. So when we create that attitude of hope, the first thing we need to do is to believe God has a purpose for our lives. You know, we're not here just to play. That's not what we're here for. We're here to worship God. We're here to be disciples of Christ. We are here to make disciples of Christ. That's what it says, okay? We have to believe that the purpose that God has for us is what sustains us, is what keeps us going. It's what we should be doing every day. And so if we know what the will of God is, that God created us for a purpose, we may not know and we may not be struggling or may not have the knowledge and be struggling with, should I take this job? Should I move across the state? Those kinds of questions I think God provides guidance on. But if we just stand on the promise that God created us with a will and a purpose, and that will and purpose is found very clearly. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's why we're here. That's why we're here, to love God and to give him honor. Okay? So, do you love him? Do you love him? Because lots of people say, well, Jesus loves me. Yeah, honey, he does. But do you love him? Are you looking like you love him? That's the part of it that we need to do. 1 John 3:16-17 says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Okay, now, I'm not a socialist. If you've talked to me 5 minutes, you know that. But if we are not showing compassion, if we do not see the need outside these walls and think that as Christians, as God's disciples, as people who are loved by God, if we are not making a difference, there's people out there that are going to hell. If you don't care about that, then you're not a Christian, in my opinion. You got to make a it has to touch your heart that there are people that we know that do not have Jesus, that do not know Jesus. And sometimes they don't have any food in their belly. And it's really hard to talk to someone about Jesus if their stomach is growling. So let's be real about the world that we live in and who we are called to be in this world. We are called to be disciples who make disciples. We are called to live the cross life. The cross life. What does that mean? Jesus made it clear that the only way to receive peace and future hope, is in him. Jesus said, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And the way that we have this peace and hope is through the way he provided us. He tells us of our need to walk in this way, and that's the way of the cross. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. That's what it says. That's not me. It's what the Bible says. Okay? So when we are not willing to deny ourselves, when we are not willing to give up something to be who Jesus wants to be, we are not living the cross life. Now, we all have something we don't want to give up. Yeah. Something that we say, well, Jesus, I'll do all of those things, but I don't, but this thing, you won't really notice if I don't give you this, because I gave you all that, so it'll be okay if I do this, right? We all do, because we all live on this side of heaven. And I don't care what it is. That's between you and Jesus. Y'all figure that out. Have that conversation. Many, unfortunately, want to follow Jesus for what they can get, but they don't want to live for him. And to live for him is the cross life. They don't want to serve the poor. They don't want to forgive those who've hurt them. They don't want to love their enemies. They don't want to bear someone else's burdens. They want to check the box. I went to church. I did what I was supposed to do, and I'm good, right? But the way of the cross is a way of total commitment. And I'm going to end on this. Think of it like this. God is not a part-time savior. He doesn't want us to be part-time Christians. Okay? We need to stop being a part-time Christian and demand that God be a full-time God. We want God to do everything for us, but we're not willing to do everything for God. So let me just share this analogy with me, because as I got to this, it was, many of you may or may not know that I was a realtor for 25 years. And very often when I would be listing a house, the person who owned the house would say, wow, that's a really high commission. But would you be willing to negotiate that? And I would generally agree to have a conversation. And I would say, I just went through all the things that I do for that commission. I do the advertising. I do this. If I drop the cost of what I'm charging you, which one of these services did you want me to delete so that I wasn't doing that, and that way it equivalates to, that's not even a word, but you know, it is now. If you say it twice, it's a word, right? I don't know if I can say it twice. But if I'm going to deduct what you're going to pay me, then I'm going to deduct what I do. And most folks don't like to hear that. But isn't that exactly what we do with God? We want God to save us. We want God to give us eternal life with him. We want to have the angels protect us. We want to have all good things in our life. We want all those things that God promises us as blessings. But we got some of these sins over here that we don't want God to pay any attention to, because that's what we want to do. So I would just encourage you, as you are reading the scriptures, as you are standing on the hope and the promise that God gives you, to examine yourself. And make sure that there's nothing inside you that you're not willing to do for God. That you're not being a part-time Christian looking for a full-time God. Because we need to live in alignment with God's will and purpose if we are going to ask God to do all of that for us. And so, worship team, Father God, we are so very grateful